Through the Fence is front and center this week in Congress. Airbus is sued over a wild fly-by-wire ride that injured 100. And subsidized airline service comes to five small communities. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. The FAA's attack on residential TTF, or through-the-fence agreements at federally funded airports, is making news in Washington this week. Yesterday, the FAA's acting assistant administrator for airports, Catherine Lang, appeared before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee to contend that the agreements complicate the ability of airports to grow later and unfairly benefit the private landowners who enjoy higher values for their properties as a result of taxpayer expenditures. The background document prepared for the hearing by committee staff notes, quote, "Real property on which a hangar home is constructed, after all, would have little to no utility if not connected to an airport with infrastructure funded by federal money and with a level of quality such federal investment provides," unquote. In her testimony, Lang wrapped up by suggesting, quote, "I believe our staff has given full and fair consideration to all the ideas and feedback we have received up to this point in the process, and I assure you that we will continue to be open-minded as we review the public comments on our draft policy," unquote. On the committee's agenda today, testimony from Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. Should be interesting. An Australian lawyer has filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against Airbus and Northrop Grumman on behalf of 76 passengers and crew members who were aboard a Qantas Airbus A330, which made two uncommanded steep dives during a flight in 2008. The pilot of the aircraft executed a successful emergency landing at a remote Australian Air Force base. AFP News reports attorney Floyd Wisner named Northrop Grumman in the suit because it made a data unit on the plane. He declined to put a dollar estimate on compensation, but said it could range from the low six figures to millions per person, depending on the injuries, both physical and psychological. The incident injured more than 100 people who sustained broken ribs, spinal fractures, and other injuries. Wisner said people in food carts flew through the air, hitting the ceiling and the overhead baggage bins before eventually falling back onto the seats and floor of the airplane. The pilot said the aircraft went out of control and the computer would not give him control of the plane. Wisner said if the claims are not settled, he expects to be in court in the U.S. within 2 years. Gulfstream International Group, an airline that bears no relationship to the business jet manufacturer, announced this week it will receive $8.5 million in federal subsidies to operate five routes for small communities around Cleveland, Ohio. Those cities are Bradford, DuBois, and Franklin in Oil City, Pennsylvania, Parkersburg, West Virginia, and Jamestown, New York. Gulfstream operates flights from all five cities to Cleveland. The federal funds are granted under the Essential Air Service Program. That was a political compromise that was struck to get airline deregulation passed back in the 70s. It subsidizes service into about 140 rural communities that were once served by regulated airline service and has at times been notorious for paying vendors to operate mostly empty turboprops. Gulfstream CEO David Hackett promises, quote, "We strive to offer excellent customer service in all our markets and will continue to seek out new markets for growth, particularly those represented by the Essential Air Service Program," unquote. Up next on ANN, did the U.S. Air Force treat a small would-be contractor unfairly? U.S. airline traffic rises slightly in August. And Boeing says Africa will buy 700 new airliners. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. A report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office has found insufficient evidence to rule that the U.S. Air Force intentionally delayed a messenger delivering a KCX tanker bid from U.S. Aerospace. The Air Force said it would not consider the bid because it arrived 5 minutes late. U.S. Aerospace partnered with Antonov in the Ukraine to bid and claims that the Air Force deliberately delayed the messenger bringing the proposal on deadline day because of political issues. Reuters claims that Ralph White, the head of the GAO's bid protest division, said there was insufficient evidence to back up that claim and that the GAO had not even determined yet whether the bid actually arrived on time. Michael Goldberg, a director for U.S. Aerospace, said the bid was serious and not a stunt to bring esteem to his company. He says if the protest is not upheld by the GAO, he plans to pursue the case in federal court. ATA, the Air Transport Association of America, reports that passenger revenue based on a sample group of carriers rose 17% in August compared to the same month in 2009. That makes the eighth consecutive month of revenue growth. However, the pace of improvement slowed from June and July. About 1% more passengers traveled in August, while the average price to fly 1 mile rose 14%. International passenger revenue rose 27%, led by a 44% gain in Trans-Pacific markets. ATA President James May said in a news release Monday that carriers are still wary entering the traditionally slower fall season. An analysis from Boeing predicts air travel in Africa will continue to grow along with the economy. Boeing analyst Mike Warner noted, quote, "African carriers will require a modernized fleet in order to compete on routes historically dominated by foreign carriers. Africa's current fleet is nearly 20 years old on average, in a market that demands newer, more fuel-efficient airplanes to help offset the rising cost of fuel," unquote. Boeing's forecast calls for the delivery of more than 700 airplanes with a value of approximately $80 billion for the African airplane market over the next 20 years. Still ahead, Women in Aviation will hold a regional conference in England. Now, AOPA is selling car insurance. And the USS John F. Kennedy is going free to a good home. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Women in Aviation International will be emphasizing the international part this fall. WAI will partner with two of its British chapters to hold a regional conference November 5th and 6th at the Brooklands Museum, the home of British Aviation, located in Surrey, just outside London. Brooklands-based aircraft companies such as Blériot, Hawker, Sopwith, Martinside, and Vickers were key players in the early years of aviation. Dr. Peggy Chabrian, president of WAI, observed, quote, "We couldn't have a better spot for this conference, since some 18,600 new aircraft of nearly 250 types were first flown, manufactured, or assembled at Brooklands. What's more, Hilda Beatrice Hewlett, the first woman to earn a pilot's license in Britain, earned it there," unquote. 2 days of events are planned to encompass commercial, military, general, and corporate aviation, including the opportunity to sit on an operational British Airways Concorde, while former Captain Mike Bannister narrates a virtual flight. Online registration and more information are available at the top of the right column at www.wai.org. The aircraft carrier USS John F. Kennedy was decommissioned on August 1, 2007, after nearly 40 years in service. Big John has since been berthed at the NAVC Inactive Ships Maintenance Facility in Philadelphia, where she's become eligible for donation as a museum and memorial to a qualified entity. There are two bidders so far. A group in Portland, Maine is facing resistance from its own city council, including concerns the carrier would be an eyesore that would block the view in the harbor, and skepticism about the ability to raise the estimated $71 million needed for the 10-year development plan. A rival group in Newport, Rhode Island says it already has $10 million in commitments in a funding campaign led by Congressman Patrick Kennedy. The city was also home to the Kennedy Summer White House and has other strong connections to the family. If you'd like to check out both groups, They have websites linked from the bottom of the text version of this story, dated September 22nd, at aero-news.net. And finally, thanks for the comments. They were both positive and negative about my rant here on Monday, which was also carried in text form on the ANN website yesterday. My frustration over my AOPA membership making me a junk mail target apparently is not an isolated experience. We appreciate all the comments. And I got another junk mailing on Tuesday, a letter with AOPA's logo trying to sell me car insurance. Maybe I just need to get a junk mail burning stove for the winter and save some money. If you want to comment, you can still do it. My address is paulp@aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, more on the history of the SR-71 Blackbird, this time from Larry Wood, Director of Education at the Evergreen Aviation Museum in Oregon. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.